we've heard Governor Carney talk about changing the Department of Education. It sounds like he wants to make a sea change in the way it operates. Is that an accurate read of what his goal actually is?
Well, sea change might be an overstatement. I mean, overall, and certainly it's early in his term, but Governor Carney thus far hasn't indicated a desire to do anything that might be considered dramatic. He's referred to the expected changes in the Department of Education as a reorganization, but it seems to me that it's more of a refocusing or a repurposing.
So what won't we see that we have seen in two terms under former Governor Jack Markell?
Well, during the Markell administration, the Department of Education took a lot of deep dives into complex statistics. Number crunching was often the rule as policy decisions were made. And our state education department was hardly alone in that regard. Education leaders nationwide were doing the same. But now, Susan Bunting, our new Secretary of Education, like so many others in education leadership these days, says that she is data-driven. So you can count on DOE to still seek precise measurements before it makes major moves. What will be different, however, is that Dr. Bunting, as a longtime Delaware educator and as a district superintendent in Indian River, has an understanding of how Delaware schools work, from the classrooms to the boardrooms, and she has the respect of the educators who are on the front lines every day. She's also big on communications and transparency. Those qualities set her apart from Dr. Mark Murphy, who was Secretary of Education during much of the Markell administration.
So having said all that, do we have a sense yet of what we will see in this DOE under Susan Bunting?
I think most significantly what we will see is a department that is more service-oriented. Back in the old days, and I'm talking going back to anywhere from the 1970s into the start of the Markell administration, the Department of Education was really a valued resource for school districts. There were curriculum specialists in just about every subject, and the districts could call on them for advice over the phone or to hold teacher training workshops whenever they saw a need for help in specific subject areas. Now, in the last 10 years or so, with the growing emphasis on standardized testing and classifying school performance and the talk about turnaround schools and priority schools and federal programs like No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top, all of that led the department to become an operation that was making more rules and was appearing to spend more time enforcing those rules than it was actually helping the districts and the charter schools to navigate through this new environment. So, you know, at least in terms of how the department interacts with the school districts, Susan Bunting hopes to turn back the clock a bit to make the department, in her words, more of a coach than a catcher.
And underneath that is perhaps a sense that there will be more of what school boards and districts desire, which is local control, that there'll be less, as you said, regulatory pressure from above, and the schools will make decisions themselves. For them, this style would appear to be very good news, starting with immediately the state's draft of the Every Student Succeeds Act plan, which seems to emphasize this as well.
Yes, that's true. But of course, when we talk about local control, some of the options are limited. Certainly, as far as the way federal funds are expended, the Every Student Succeeds Act state plan is going to be an improvement and a benefit to the districts. Dr. Bunting said the other day, you know, that we have the opportunity to go district by district now and for the districts to determine how best to use those federal funds. What you need in Milford is not the same as what you need in Christina. So there is going to be more of a district by district look. The districts are going to have a little bit, certainly more autonomy in that regard. Looking at it more broadly, in this current environment, there are really some very severe limits on how local control can be exercised. You take the state's funding system, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. That pretty much specifies the staffing levels for districts and their schools. So it takes extra funds, which have to be approved by district residents in a referendum, to launch new programs. And we know how voters, especially those who don't have kids in the public schools, feel about raising their own taxes. So if you look overall at the focus in the department and how it's changing, it's less about transferring control from the state to the districts, whatever that control happens to be, and it's more about DOE saying to the districts, let's work together to solve this problem, rather than saying to them, you've got a problem and you either fix it or we're going to come in and take over your school.
You mentioned school funding, and obviously it's something we've discussed a fair amount in recent months. The governor says he doesn't see, as we've discussed previously, money for assisting high-poverty schools through the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission's plan this year, and suggests that their districts turn to their federal Title I funding to help those schools. What is Susan Bunting saying about state dollars for schools, especially these high-need schools, particularly in the upcoming budget, which we know faces a pretty big deficit, $350 million.
Well, you know, right now, Dr. Bunting is saying pretty much what the governor is saying. Don't count on the state for any more money for the coming year. And actually, for the coming year, you might wind up having even a little bit less. We'll know more about that in about 2 weeks when the governor presents his new budget to the General Assembly. Broadly speaking, I think Secretary Bunting is probably more sensitive to school funding needs and to the details of school finance than the governor might be, and I know John Carney is certainly an expert in most financial areas of government, but you can see a governor saying, when you've got a budget crisis like the one we have right now, that it might be a good idea for a district to go and reallocate its federal funds so it can somehow or other try to cover a possible shortage from the state. And that's pretty much what Governor Carney suggested last week at the meeting of the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission. But that's not the kind of position that a Secretary of Education would advocate for. I'm sure Secretary Bunting realizes that that's not a real solution to the problem, but when push comes to shove, if you ask her, she's going to say, this is something that we just might have to do this year to get through the coming year.
So as I say, it's something of a Band-Aid solution, but your piece does indicate that she is open to a long-term look at how state funds are used for schools and how the state actually decides how to distribute those funds.
Yes, I would say that Dr. Bunting, and really like most people in the education community, is willing to take another look at how the state's funding system works, particularly the unit system, which we have been using for about 70 years. That being said, Susan Bunting is not part of the chorus that is calling for a major overhaul here. She agrees that the unit system needs some tweaking. Maybe we should add some new categories. For example, categories for English language learners and children with low income from low income families, much as WEIC has been advocating. Of course, these sorts of changes, developing different weights for different types of students, has been how the unit system has been modified and become more complex and more confusing over the years. The people who are advocating for greater education finance reform would like to see a system that bases funding more on an individual student basis rather than one that counts up students in different categories and then uses whatever that calculation is to determine how many teachers the state will support a district having. So, there's a difference there. We are having a discussion. It hasn't reached to the fever pitch yet about how to reform the system. Tweaks are probably what will get the most interest right now, but they're probably not the long-term answer. But this is something that's going to have to be played out, not necessarily this year, but over the next couple.
The one area where perhaps some have discussed looking for some of the savings that might help make things cost less is district consolidation. And that is something that you did talk to Susan Bunting about. And tell us a little bit about where she comes down on consolidation, which is one of those areas that a lot of people seem to feel like, well, if we could shrink things down, save some money, then we would move into a larger discussion about funding.
First of all, my recent conversations on the consolidation issue started with a chat with Earl Jakes, Representative Jakes, who was chairman of the House Education Committee, and he said, consolidation might be something that would come up this year, and Jakes has several ideas, nothing that he's got quite ready to go into the form of legislation. But the point is, Delaware has something like 137,000 students in 19 school districts and 20-plus charter schools. I did the math. It comes down to about a little more than 7,000 students per school district. Jakes tells me that there's something like the school experts tell him that 22,000 students is a nice ideal size. You do that math, and Delaware ought to have 6 or 7 school districts. You run this by Susan Bunting, and she says, "Yeah, we might." Have reason to at least look at this. She doesn't have many particular plans. She points out that there might be as many plans around as there are legislators in legislative hall, but she'd certainly be willing to look at, say, taking a couple of the smaller districts and consolidating them on a trial basis and seeing what happens. Now, over the years, people have talked about consolidation as a way of saving money, and yet, when you look at it and you look at the principles that the state has followed in prior consolidations, one of the issues you come up with is leveling up teacher salaries, so the folks in the lower paying districts wind up getting paid the same as the higher paying districts that are involved in the merger. So there's really not a cost saving there, whether you're talking about teachers or administrators. You might knock out a few more jobs, but overall the pay cost might go up. There have been some efforts at consolidating spending. The Brink Education Consortium, which is involved with technology and blended learning and the like, has expanded from 5 districts up to 9 now, and that's saving the district's money not in staffing at all, but in terms of bulk purchases of computers and IT equipment. So some of that is also possible. So the savings, whether it's a savings issue or not, we don't know. Whether it's an efficiency issue or not, could be. The key thing that Dr. Bunting would be interested in is whether a consolidation is actually going to mean increased and improved opportunities for students. If consolidating districts means that students in high schools, for example, have better course selections and more options and greater opportunities to do whether it be an international baccalaureate program or advanced placement courses or whatever, if a consolidation would do that and it would and could work effectively, that's something that she would support. And she says it might take a dry run to see if that could happen.
And finally, left somewhat unspoken in all this talk of change at DOE is the fate of many initiatives that were launched under former Governor Jack Markell. Will much of the work done under his administration be undone or disappear as this change in focus comes about?
Well, I think we're going to find out in a couple of weeks. I mean, Dr. Bunting said that she's going to advocate at least for continuing a couple of the programs that that Markell started, the dual language immersion program, which starts kindergarten students on a path that could lead them through 13 years of instruction in either Spanish or Chinese, and Career Pathways, which is a high school experience that guides students towards jobs with high growth potential and financial rewards, areas like advanced manufacturing and healthcare, information technology, finance. Desire is to keep these programs, maintain them as they are, perhaps help them continue to grow. What we've got, well, we'll know a little bit better in a couple of weeks.